to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
The honors of thy name.
A Christian lives in God's presence at all times. Sing along with this contemporary praise, Holy Ground.
Today's message is entitled, Giving Meaning to the Cross. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Whit. The scripture lesson is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 23. John says, "We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet does not help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. By this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Amen." When my grandson Andrew was 7 years old, he's now my oldest grandson, he's 12, but at Easter, he sent me a card. He signed it, "Love, Andrew, number 8. Now, 8 is his number, was his number then on his baseball team. You know, the first night that he came home with his jersey, he wore it all night. As I remember reading that card, I was thinking of how important that jersey was to him right then. Number 8. Well, friends, it's been about 45 years, but I remember when I first received my football jersey. My number was 33. I have a hunch I wore it all night, too. I'm sure I did. As a freshman in high school, I got my first letter for playing football. You know, I could just not wait until I got a gold sweater in which to sew that blue M. M was for Madera High School. You know, just being able to wear that sweater around town was a kind of a major identity factor for me. I remember seeing other teenagers from other schools wearing their letters. It was like we all belonged to the same club. Those letters meant that we belonged to something much bigger than any one of us. You know, the most significant thing was a class ring. Oh boy, I remember getting that class ring. Of course, when I fell in love with Judy, she got both the ring and the letter. Well, in every culture, though, there are all sorts of symbols that give us identity. Frankly, today, everything from underarm deodorant to certain types of automobiles have their special value symbol. Well, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, our church got a new steeple. Beautiful new steeple. Because it was sort of a semi-contemporary style and the octagonal shape of the steeple, we chose not to put a cross on the top of it. Well, about 3 weeks after we ordered the steeple, I discovered a growing unrest among our people. I'd shown pictures of it. Our trustees and some of the people were coming to see me and saying, "Oh, you know, it's just not right not having a cross on top of the church." Well, we all felt it, and we finally called the company and said, "You've got to put a cross on top of that steeple," and we did. It's the strangest thing. We've done a lot of remodeling and landscaping to our church, and we've got a lot of land now, but nothing we have done identifies us as the church as much as that cross. Now, not even the steeple itself. It is the cross that on the top of that steeple that makes the difference. Now, just put that aside for a moment. I want you to think about this lesson. The writer here in 1 John is teaching us a very critical lesson. You see, our identity as the body of Christ comes from the resurrected Christ. The cross, wherever you see it, is a constant reminder of His life that was given for us. The symbol of the cross is not enough. But John wants us to remember that it's not our slogans, our bumper stickers, our mission statements, our banners, or our speeches that count. No, the one thing that really defines us, that really identifies us as the church, is the integrity with which we conduct our lives and the actions we take to live out what we believe. I remember several years ago talking to my friend Walter Johnson. At that time, he headed up a group called the UMVIMS, United Methodist Volunteers in Mission. And they were part of our conference and a whole southeastern jurisdiction. They're all across the country, but these persons are all ages and walks of life who volunteer their time and resources to help where needed. There is a flood, a tornado, whatever it is, a fire in the church, they just come to help rebuild. Several years ago in February, Whitney and I were at the ashram down in Florida. Whitney does an incredible job of leading those. And we were there at the conference retreat center in Leesburg, Florida, the Methodist Conference Retreat Center. And half the camp is devoted to youth facilities. Well, the first night we sat down to eat, I was in the dining hall and I noticed dozens of persons dressed in work clothes. Now, everything here is casual, but these folks were really casual, and obviously they had been painting or working on something. And two women who looked like they were in the work group sat down at our table, and I said, "Where are you from?" One of them said, "Seattle, Washington." "Well, what brings you to Leesburg?" She said, "We're UMVIMS. We heard the youth facilities here needed some work, and we came to help." "Now, there's a team of us," she said, "who take our vacation at the same time every year and volunteer to help where we're needed." When she told me all of the places that they had been, something in me just wanted to say, yes, that's the church in action. I mean, they gave up something to really help others. Now, there are countless Christians every place you go who day after day after day volunteer their time to teach. They teach disadvantaged children to read. They spend time with children at risk. They work in clinics in low-income housing areas. Some work in soup kitchens. Some who are serving homeless people every day. You know, I know a retired person who volunteers in his church, in our church-related community center, every day and spends time with children from broken homes. What a significant thing that is. Many children grow up with never having a caring older adult role model in their lives. I mean, that's incredibly important. 3 years ago, I was invited to preach in a small Methodist church in North Carolina, and the pastor was telling me about his congregation and the spirit, and it was an incredible feeling. He said to me, "We're a 50-50 church." Now, friends, I thought for a minute he was making a poor joke about some of his members. But thank goodness I had the wisdom. Maybe God gave me the wisdom to keep my mouth quiet before I learned what he was meaning. He said, "Last fall, our church council voted to give away to others 50% of everything we received in offerings during the year." He looked at me and I was a little puzzled. He said, "The amazing thing, John, is that we have received more offerings this year than ever before." Boy, I remembered my friend David Musisi. David is from Uganda, and he barely escaped assassination in his home. His brother and scores of others were killed by Idi Amin. It's been a while back now, but But David saw his picture one day on a wanted poster, and he fled on foot to Kenya. Lost in the wilderness between Uganda and Kenya, some native people found him and cared for him. And they were Christians. Well, with little resources of food and clothing, they helped David finally get safely to Kenya. On the journey, David prayed that if there was a God, and if this God would get him through, that he would someday return to the wilderness and care for those people. Remarkably, David made it. I had him on Methodist Hour several years ago. Well, David found a Methodist pastor in Kenya who led him to Christ. He met and married a Christian woman, and together they held Bible studies in their tiny apartment and even baptized new believers in their bathtub. That's a new one. But David remembered, though, his promise to return to those people who saved his life. Now today, good friends, if you go between Uganda and Kenya through the wilderness, you'll find dotted here and there some small churches with tin roofs and a cross on the top. You'll find David or one of his mission team members teaching school or working with medical clinics there that they've built, or you might find him or some of his people cooking food for a whole village on an outdoor open fire. You know, I notice sometimes the church is the school, and sometimes it's the clinic, and sometimes it's the dining room when it's raining. Actually, it becomes whatever it needs to be. The first letter of John is very short, only 5 chapters. But as I allowed myself to sort of immerse into this lesson and get to the meat of it, I realized that even as this letter was written in those beginning days of the church, there must have been those who could do more talking about their faith than they could about living it out. John was reminding those early believers that actions do really speak louder than words. And I wish I could say to you that I'm always able to live out my faith in my actions. Frankly, I don't. Do you ever have that problem? Well, if you read very carefully, you will discover that the early believers had the same problem. John said, even when our hearts condemn us, that is, when we know deep down inside that we have failed to live as we should and to do what is a reflection of Christ, God is even greater than our hearts. He means that when our hearts tell us we've failed, we know it because we love Christ and His Spirit is nudging us. God will look beyond our actions and not condemn us, and we can try again. Boy, that is so encouraging. Now, friends, I want you to think of this. The tiny wooden handmade crosses, I've seen pictures of them, those little handmade crosses on top of those metal roof buildings and open-air churches in Uganda and in between there and in Kenya, are not as beautiful as the tall, glistening white spire in our church. But you know what? It really doesn't matter, because it's what happens inside and outside in the lives of those people who belong there that really gives the world an understanding what the cross means. Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. On Thursday, I heard a man speak about his faith. He said that he had been reading so much lately about suicide in America. He gave a lot of statistics, and then he said the thing that really got to him was learning that one of the most powerful antidotes for suicidal thoughts was gratitude. Research shows that when persons who were being treated for suicidal thoughts were asked to write down a list of all the things for which they were grateful, even the smallest things like a baby smile, the lists were much longer than they had anticipated, and the patients themselves showed dramatic emotional improvement. The physical and mental health benefits of gratitude are just enormous. I can tell you that I am so grateful for you. Your prayers and your gifts make it possible for us to make a difference. Our broadcasts, you know, are focused on giving our listeners a hope-filled word about God's love for everyone. We have no way of knowing who will listen or what the impact might be, but we do believe that our task is to share the word and let the Holy Spirit do the communicating. You may not be able to send a gift, but I can tell you a word from you would mean a lot to me. Personally, it means a lot to all of us. Please connect with us. My email is johnwolfe@me.com, J-O-H-N-W-O-L-F-E, johnwolfe@me.com. Or you can call me direct, 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162. And you know our website is methodisthourinternational.com. Easy to remember, methodisthourinternational.com. Whatever you're able to do will mean a lot. God's grace to you. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.